नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So I'll read the Bhagavatam verse, which is in a different meter, so can't be sung, and then we will discuss something from Chaitanya Bhagavat about the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 9. Bharatepi varshe Bhagavan Nara Narayanakya Akalpantam Upachita Dharma Jnana Vairagya Aishwarya Upashama Paramat Upalamba Bhavanam Upalambanam Anugrahayatmatmadam Anukampaya Tapo Avyakta Gatish Charati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Text 10. Tam Bhagavan Narado Varnashramavati Abhibharati Bhi Prajabhir Bhagavat Proktabhyam Sankhya Yogabhyam Bhagavat Anubhavo Pavarnam Savarnir Upadikshamana Parama Bhakti Bhaveno Pasharati Idam Chabi Ghanati. In his own book known as Narad Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Savarni Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, Narad Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, always engages in the service of Naranarayan, and he chants as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bharata Bhumi Te Haila Manushya Janma Jar Janma Sarthak Kori Karapara Upakar. The real success or fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bharatvarsha. Because in Bharatvarsha, the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bharatvarsha, and this is especially so for those who are following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. If we do not take to the principles of Varnashram Dharma by accepting the four social orders, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and the four orders of spiritual life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, there can be no question of success in life. Unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, everything is now being lost. The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are gradually becoming degraded, mlechas and yavanas. How then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not only for the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, but for all the people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is still time, and if the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha take this movement of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to a hellish condition. The Krishna consciousness movement follows the process of Pancharatrik Vidhi and that of Bhagavat Vidhi simultaneously so that people can take advantage of the movement and make their lives successful. Vandeyam. Seeking the blessings of all the senior devotees here, especially Lakshmimoni Mataji, and Rajbihari Prabhu, I never knew you are here, otherwise I would have requested you to give class. We thought you all got to Ujjain. You can still come. Maybe we can take your comments later. So what I propose to do is we'll discuss something from this purport about the austerities of Naranarayan and the preaching opportunities for the residents of Bharatvarsha, and then they will discuss some pastimes of the appearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So in today's Bhagavatam verse, which is connected with the previous verse, where Prabhupada says in the purport that people in India can visit the temple of Naranarayan at Badri Kashram, which we know as Badri Narayan, Badri Nath, just to learn how the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Naranarayan engages in austerities to teach the people of the world how to achieve self-realization. In today's times, we find that even for the sake of self-realization, the general mass of people are not encouraged or are not willing to engage in austerities. In fact, Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that people don't even know the meaning of austerity. What exactly do we mean by performing austerities? At the same time, we have so many different kinds of unauthorized ideas about what austerities are. Especially the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes any austerity where you torture the body, you torture your mind, that's austerity in the mode of ignorance. Not to criticize anyone, but just now as we were in South India, we saw these groups of people wearing black dress and going from temple to temple. What is the historical background for this kind of pilgrimage or this kind of austerity? There is not much to show. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu was telling about one person who was not so interested in having anything to do with self-realization or understanding God. But he saw the fervor, he saw the enthusiasm of these people, that for 40 days, they just go on visiting one temple after another, doesn't matter whose temple is it, and they don't eat meat, they don't drink alcohol, even husband and wife, they do not engage in sexual activities. They take on so many austerities, and the culmination of that is to visit a particular temple where they all congregate. So this particular person was very inspired by seeing all that, and especially the culmination of the thing was where everybody was together, they sing their songs. And the next day, as they come back, come down the temple through the other path, there's a big liquor shop. And what they do after they finish their austerities made him lose his faith completely. So the idea that any kind of austerity should be done so that you enjoy later. And of course, this thing about enjoyment in life is like the backbone of material existence. Why do we exist? In order to enjoy. Now, this is not very much removed from the original purpose of this creation, that we all exist, like someone asked Prabhupada, why everything is? Why does everything exist? And Prabhupada's simple answer was, it's for enjoyment. And the person was very happy. And Prabhupada added, but not yours. So everything exists for enjoyment, but if it is for my enjoyment, then I see a very different face of this material world. As Bhurijan Prabhu very excellently put it, the moment you try to become enjoyer, you find that the universe doesn't cooperate with you. Nothing cooperates with you. Nothing seems to go right. So, even the idea of God as a supreme enjoyer immediately instills a sense of rebellion as to why he should be the enjoyer, why he should enjoy all the time. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada there is no historical record, at least I have seen anywhere, that Prabhupada studied Western philosophy or he sort of tried to understand all the various unauthorized ways in which people think. But he was so much fixed up in the Vaishnava understanding, being a Mahabhagavat himself, that whenever somebody in the West would bring forth an argument that this particular philosopher says that such and such is like this, and pat would come the reply from Prabhupada, but how do you define this then? For example, there was this French philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre, and he said everything is meaningless. So Prabhupada's answer was, if everything is meaningless, then why do you write so many books explaining everything is meaningless? You can just say that in one small passage that everything actually is meaningless. That would suffice. Why do you want to make everything so elaborate? Why give so many different meanings to an ultimate meaningless thing? Or even the Scottish philosopher David Hume, who argued about so many different ways, and he was, and Prabhupada says, he only wants to disregard everybody's opinion and wants to say that I am correct. So he could immediately go through the veneer of that self-aggrandizement or whatever people would do and would come to the essence of it. Just a few days ago, I was reading about this German philosopher, Nietzsche, and his declaration that God is dead. And of course, in India, we feel, you know, how can someone say like that? So upon doing some kind of research as to why somebody would be so rebellious, why somebody would be so frustrated, I came across a passage where Prabhupada said, all you people here in the West, you are just cheated by these philosophers. And all these people are themselves so frustrated. They cannot find God. All the old ways of thinking, their intelligence has so much been, there are so many obstacles on their path that out of sheer frustration they come out with this thing that, you know, we don't care for a God who is just an enjoyer. So I was thinking about this idea that we always talk of a God who is a creator, maintainer, a destroyer, or the enjoyer. In the personality of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, we see the opposite. We do not see the exploiter God. We see instead a servant God. Krishna gives a hint in the Bhagavad Gita where he says, Arjun, I am the beginning, middle and end of everything. In one sense, I am everything. So if we see Krishna as a supreme enjoyer, and in our own, at least I can say for myself, sometimes that idea causes so much friction in your own mind, in my own mind, that I'm doing something for him, and why doesn't he reciprocate? Or how do I reconcile the idea that eternally I have to serve someone without any tinge of expectation? Even the best of my thoughts cannot sort of understand the level of service which is required in order to satisfy Krishna. So Krishna himself comes and shows how he is served. God is God's best servant. The best example of service is given by God himself. And therefore, Balaram, Krishna's first expansion, is the best example of the servitor. The spiritual master is also considered Sakshad Hari. We sing every day, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastrair Uktas. All the Shastras proclaim the glories of the spiritual master as good as Krishna himself, as good as God himself. But God, as the spiritual master, doesn't create universes. He doesn't maintain them. He doesn't claim to be the destroyer, maintainer, creator. So in what respect is he the
equivalent of God.
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, Prabhorya Priya Eva. The only reason for accepting the spiritual master as good as Krishna is that he is dear to Krishna. He is the dear most. Kintu Prabhorya Priya Eva Tasya. So that is the position of Lord Nityananda. And especially in today's Bhagavatam verse, we are talking about preaching in Bharat Varsha. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that, very nicely he's putting here, there is still time. Not everything is lost. And the inhabitants of Bharat Varsha take this moment of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to a hellish condition. It's not very difficult to say that the world is going towards a very hellish condition. Demoniac mentalities flourish like anything. So just last 2-3 days, I was being told about a controversy about one newspaper publishing some cartoons about a prophet. And the entire community is so much enraged that they are willing to kill all the cartoonists, set fire to the embassies, proclaim a holy war. So when these demons start fighting among themselves, what are so-called sane people supposed to do? Because just like Lord Nityananda, when he was trying to save Jagai and Madai, the specific subtle or the gross understanding of Jagai and Madai's behavior was they would always be fighting with others. Robbing somebody, killing someone, setting fire to someone's house, burning somebody's house, abusing all the time. And it is described that if sometimes they would not have anyone to fight, they would fight among themselves. And if someone would try to solve that squabble, he would get beaten in between. So many times when devotees try to preach to others on a gross bodily platform, it is just unsuccessful. Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopayana shantaye. Prabhupada used to quote this saying from the Panchatantra, that if you give instruction to a foolish person, he only gets angry. So what are we supposed to do? So therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, by his own behavior, he showed us the standard. And now we shall try to find something about his glorious activities. It is described in the Madhya Khanda, third chapter of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There is a description about the appearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In a province of Bengal called Radadesh is described as a place where the Ganga doesn't flow. There existed one very pious Brahmana called Hadai Oja or Hadai Pandit. His wife was Padmavati and their eldest son was Nityananda. And from the very beginning, Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes were so sweet and so transcendental. He would enact pastimes from the Ramayana, from Puranas. He would be the leader among the boys there. And when the villagers would exclaim in astonishment, "How do you know all these things?" And he would just answer as a matter of fact that, "Well, this is my leela." And they wouldn't understand why he's saying like that. The whole town loved him, his parents, especially his father. Vrindavanadas Thakur describes that whenever his father would go for shopping, to tend the fields, to buy something, walking in the streets, even for a moment if Nitai would not be by his side, he would look as if he has lost all his possessions.
24 hours a day, his father wanted Nitai to be with him all the time. Such was their love. It is described that his body, which was soft like butter, would practically melt when his parents would embrace him. So this was their loving exchange, and days were going by very nicely. And one day one sannyasi came to visit Harai Oja. As a very devout grihastha, he said, "Please accept bhiksha, please accept food at my residence." And that sannyasi agreed. The whole night they were discussing Krishna Katha. And Harai Pandit was feeling very fortunate that such a nice opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. And the next day, the sannyasi made a request. He said, "Can I ask something?" He said, "Please feel free. Whatever you want, you can ask. Whatever is within my capacity, I will give you." He said, "I am traveling alone. As a sannyasi, I need a companion. I need someone as an assistant. Can you give me your son?" And Harai Pandit felt as if a thunderbolt has struck him. He was thinking, it is called dharma sankat in classical Sanskrit language, that if you do something, you are in a problem. If you don't do, you are in a bigger problem. So he was thinking, "Why don't you beg from me my life, all my possessions, whatever I have? But please, please." He was thinking within himself. He said, "If I sell it, if I tell this, then it will be a big offense." So he consulted his good wife, "What I'm supposed to do?" And she said, "Whatever you say is okay for me. I'm just prepared to follow you." Finally, with a very heavy heart, almost as if about to faint, in extreme distress, Harai Pandit allowed his young Nitai to accompany this senior sannyasi, and who just took him by the hand and left. And he just fell to the ground. It is said for 3 months he didn't eat, sleep or drink, and still his body didn't become emaciated, his body didn't become thin. There was such a strong bond of love. And he was thinking within himself, why these things happen? As if to console himself, Harai Pandit was thinking, "Lord Ram, such a beloved son of Dasharath, still Dasharath had to face that separation. Lord Kapila, he was enlightening his mother and one day just left. Shukdev Goswami, the beloved son of Vyasdev. Vyasdev had lost him. He became a young boy in the forest. And finally they met. And one day Shukdev Goswami just started walking and left home. Vyasdev was shouting, 'Putra, Putra, oh my son, don't stop.' And it is said, only the trees echoed in the background." And he was just aghast. Sachi Mata, she had to undergo separation. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this thing, that why does the Lord enact these kind of pastimes? Does it mean that renunciation is something very glorious? He says, no. Extreme renunciation cannot be the objective of a sadhak. We are not here to renounce anything. Srila Prabhupada very simply put it, that if you think you can enjoy anything in this world, you become a thief, because nothing is yours. And if you decide, "I'll not enjoy anything, but I'll renounce everything," then you are a fool, because you don't own anything. So how can one achieve realization, self-realization, if he continues to be a fool or a thief? If I say, I renounce your watch, there's something incongruous in this statement. I cannot renounce your watch. I can renounce something which belongs to me. And nothing belongs to me. So how can I renounce? So therefore, extreme bhoga makes us go down to the level of degraded species, and extreme renunciation only succeeds in making our heart hard. The feeling that I have given up something is not a good, it's not a good help in the path of Krishna Bhakti. So, neither a sense enjoyer nor a fool, but we are simply cooperators. Whatever Krishna wants, so therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments in his purport for the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the Lord enacts these pastimes just for the sake of the conditioned souls. There is a much higher goal to be achieved when he does these things. So poor Hadai Pandit, afterwards he couldn't maintain his body, he left. The entire village was distraught, they were so miserable. But this sannyasi was taking young Nitai, they visited almost all the holy places which were prakat at that time. Whatever was manifested, they visited South India, North India, East, West, everywhere. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu was in Mathura and he was told that the Supreme Lord has appeared in Bengal. Now, throughout this episode, Lord Nityananda didn't preach to anyone. He didn't even stop and talk to one single person about taking the path of Krishna Bhakti or whatever. But when he heard that the Supreme Lord has appeared in Bengal, he left Mathura and stayed at the house of a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Nandanacharya. In fact, just close to our Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir was the historical residence of Nandanacharya. So Lord Chaitanya, he had begun his Sankirtan movement. So the mystery is disclosed in this way, that since Nityananda Prabhu has taken the role of a servant, he doesn't want that he should be known as the originator of the Sankirtan movement. The right to perform prachar or preaching activity is with the Supreme Lord. He is the best preacher. He is actually the preacher, and everybody else is his assistant. So to such a degree that even Lord himself, when he comes as Nityananda Prabhu, he doesn't take the initiative to preach. He waits for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do that service himself, and he introduces himself as an assistant, as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling his associates that I saw a very wonderful dream. A dazzling golden chariot with a flag marked by a palm tree appeared here, and a very great personality. His body was like very tall person, very well built, extremely handsome. And when I saw him, he was very mildly smiling at me. And I was extremely happy to see him. So very soon we shall be getting the darshan of a great personality. So Mahaprabhu's associates would keep on asking him, who is that personality? When is he going to come and where is he? And Mahaprabhu said, soon we shall see him. And one day, Mahaprabhu said, he has arrived. He has arrived. Please go and find him. So Mahaprabhu's associates, Haridas Thakur and others, they started going. They went around Navadvip area. After 9 hours of searching, they came back and said, we cannot find him. He's not available. We went to the houses of all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas. We even went to the houses of Mayavadis and atheistic people, thinking that since we have already exhausted the available resources, he might be hiding somewhere else. And we still cannot find him. This also is explained that without the mercy of Krishna, we cannot understand who is Guru. Without Guru, we cannot get Krishna. Krishna initially helps. He is the Chaitya Guru. He is the super soul within our heart. And whenever there is a desire to seek out a guru, like some devotees, Srila Prabhupada came by Jaladuta to the US. The Jaladuta is a cargo carrier, it's not a luxury liner. That ship carries cargo. But some two American devotees, they were so poor that they also couldn't afford another ticket. They also came by the same ship back to India. So just imagine, Prabhupada comes by a ship, he lands in Boston, and the next time when the ship goes on a voyage back to India, these two personalities, they come to India, they go to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Rishikesh, Haridwar, Bengal, and they come back to America, and one of them, Hayagriva, who was Howard Wheeler at that time, he saw Prabhupada in a street in New York, and he looked at Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at him, he stopped, Prabhupada stopped, then he somehow went through the traffic, and he said, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." "And you?" "I am from America, of course." He thought, "Why would someone ask me like that?" "I went to India to search for a guru, and I am interested in spiritual life." He just blurted out so many things he wanted. Prabhupada said, "You can come to my classes. I hold classes 3 days a week." And later, when young Howard Wheeler decided to take initiation, he told Prabhupada this, that in search of a guru, we took this ship and we went to India. And Prabhupada said, "What happened then?" He said, "Our understanding was, as it is said, those who know don't speak, and those who speak don't know. Those who were knowing something were Mauni Babas or whatever, and those who were speaking, they were not knowing anything. One so-called guru was only staring at his friend's gold watch all the time. So they were frustrated." And Prabhupada's simple analysis of the whole thing was, if you are sincere, you don't need to search out a guru. Krishna brings guru just at your door. And then it is guru's service to take you to Krishna. So this is the transcendental system, as sometimes Prabhupada would put it, that they both cooperate. Guru Krishna Kripaye Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Another thing which just comes to my memory is the Mahabharata episode where Maya Danav means he's a demonic, asuric person. Not that he's a demon himself, but he's called as a Maya demon. But he served the Pandavas. And he wanted to do something for Arjun. Arjun said, no, nothing for me. Do something for Krishna. And Krishna said, no, nothing for me. You serve the Pandavas by building this nice palace in this Khandavaprastha area. So he used all his skills and made this beautiful palace in a desert area. And because he served Arjun so nicely, he got the mercy of Arjun also. He also got the mercy of Krishna because he served the devotee of Krishna. So this is how the devotee and the Lord, they cooperate. So coming to our pastime of finding Nityananda Prabhu, his devotees came and they said, "We cannot find him." So Lord Chaitanya said, "Okay, let us all start searching out for this great personality." And they started going to the streets of Navadvip, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. After performing kirtan through all the narrow lanes, by lanes, streets of Navadvip, people were not knowing, the devotees were not knowing why Lord Chaitanya is taking us to the house of Nandanacharya. But Lord Chaitanya stopped there and he called Nitai to come out. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing at the door and Nityananda Prabhu came out, and when they embraced, all the devotees were just struck with wonder, seeing their personal bodily beauty. The devotees started whispering among each other. They said, "They look like Krishna Balram." Someone said, "They look like two Cupids." Somebody said, "They look like Krishna has embraced Anantashesh." So in this way, the devotees were glorifying among themselves this wonderful sight. And knowing Nityananda Prabhu's mood, Lord Chaitanya, he hinted to Srivas Thakur to sing a particular verse. And knowing his mind, Srivas Thakur started singing this very well-known verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Barhapidam natavaravapu karnayo karnikaram bibhradvasakanakapisham vajayantim chamalam randran veno radharasudhaya purayan gopavrindair vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. Barhapidam, there is a nice peacock feather on his head. Natavaravapu is like the best of dancers. Karanayo karnikaram, and there is a glistening ornament in his ear. Bibhradvasa is a effulgent, like electric yellow garment. Vajayantim cha malam, and he has a nice Vajayanti garland in his neck. Randran venor, he is blowing on his flute. Purayan gopavrindair, he's taking his friends along with him. And in this way, Lord Krishna is entering Vrindaranyam, the forest of Vrindavan. And hearing this verse, Nityananda Prabhu became ecstatic. He just started dancing, then started fainting. At this point, when the devotees saw how ecstatic were the symptoms exhibited by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they could understand that he is not an ordinary person. And then Lord Chaitanya started glorifying Lord Nityananda Prabhu, that you are the Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was not in a mood to listen to any of this. And then Nityananda Prabhu started glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And in this way it went on. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I don't have words to describe the full import of this pastime. And from that day onwards, Lord Nityananda started staying at Navadvip. In fact, what I'm saying is a very insignificant attempt at glorifying Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In the evening, Radhanath Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj and many other great devotees will be doing full justice to this pastime. But if you see the entire gamut of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, we can see that how there is such a organized plan to preach in Bharatvarsha. There is no historical record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu going beyond the shores of India. So, Prabhupada was asked by his disciples that if you say that, you know, Thakur Bhakti Vinod or Bhakti Sansari Thakur, they were great spiritual masters and they could do so much, why they didn't go abroad and start preaching? So Prabhupada clarified. He said they are almost on the level of the Supreme Lord as far as their preaching capabilities are concerned, because they are so pure, they could easily they really understand the motive of the Lord. But because they are Vaishnav, they are so magnanimous that they want that this credit should go to some humble, insignificant person like me. So Prabhupada said, that is Vaishnav. He doesn't want to take the credit himself. He always wants to see that others take the glory. And Prabhupada very clearly mentions in a purport, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one pair of Jagai and Madai, two big sinners, were saved. But by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, millions of Jagais and Madais are saved. That doesn't mean that Nityananda Prabhu's servants are more powerful than him. It is just that his mercy. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he sometimes writes some statements which may easily be misunderstood. He said that if someone doesn't accept Nitai, the Ganga runs away from him. Singing is such a fallen person. How in Kali Yuga sometimes strong words are needed, but these are some very strong words. That what to speak of, like Ganga readily accepts sinners. Okay, come, take bath, be purified and start your progress. But he said if someone doesn't accept Nityanand Prabhu, then even this Ganga will run away from him. And he said, therefore, one who doesn't accept Lord Nityananda Prabhu as his savior, I kick on their head with my foot. Now, we learn about Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam. A Vaishnava is supposed to be Titikshu, is very tolerant. Karunika is very merciful. How is Vrindavan Das Thakur being merciful when he is uttering such insults that I'll kick on your head with my foot? It is explained that Nityananda Prabhu takes care of all those who accept him as their Lord and Master. And Vrindavan Das Thakur feels, if I insult someone by kicking on his head with my foot, that person will be very aggrieved. He will complain to my master that look what your servant has done to me. And at least, even if he comes to complain, my master will try to support me, my master will try to save me. So because this person has gone to Lord Nityananda for redressal, he will give him his mercy. So this is the extent to which Nityananda Prabhu's servants are willing to do anything just to bring all the conditioned souls at his lotus feet. And therefore Lochan Das Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur, in their very, very sweet, ecstatic, but very meaningful bhajans, they explain the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So, I will stop here. Anything someone would like to add, Rajbihari Prabhu? Nitai Gaur Premanande! Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.